This is the word of God found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. Philippians 2, starting with verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want to talk about a subject I come to often, and that is sonship, specifically being a son of God, and that embraces women as well as men, females as well as males. Being a child of God is, as it's called sometimes, and a son of God, because the predestination God intends is to conform many to the image of His only begotten Son. And when I look at the subject of sonship, I find that it tracks very closely to the subject of justification. You'll find in Romans chapter 5, I believe it's verses 8 and 9, that God's children are justified by the blood of Christ. They are shown to be just in the courtroom of God's eternal justice because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross as He laid down His life for His people. But you also read about justification by faith. That's not something that needs to be added to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The justification by faith is in a different courtroom. It's not the courtroom of God's eternal justice. That's the courtroom of the mind and consciousness of a child of God, because when you truly believe that Jesus paid it all, then you are shown to be just in your own conscience. You have a peace within when you see the basis of how God justified you in His eternal justice. And yet the Bible goes further than that. There's a justification by works written about in the book of James. He says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? What's that about? Well, justification by works is in the sight and the perception of other people. You know, you may be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you may be justified by faith by believing it, but if you don't do the things that God has commanded about being honest and fair to people and kind and considerate, and you don't do those things, other people won't see you as a child of God. Whereas if you obey the commandments of the Lord to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, then in the perception of other children of God, and in the perception of the angels that watch us, the perception of men and angels, you're justified. You're shown to be just. So there's a justification that comes by the finished work of Christ. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. There's a justification that comes by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's something that gives you some of the peace within that has just been discussed. And then there's a justification in the eyes of other people that comes when you are obedient to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all three of these are important, but only one gets you to heaven, and that's the justification by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The others help you to live abundant and peaceful, fruitful life while you're here in the earth. The same thing pertains to sonship. There are at least three ways that I find in the Bible that someone becomes a son of God. The first one is he is born of the Holy Spirit. That is the way you objectively in life become a son of God. The second one is you become a son of God by receiving Jesus Christ, that is, even believing on His name. That is becoming a son in your own viewpoint, in your own consciousness. And then the third is becoming a son of God by the way you live in obedience to God, which shows others that you are a son of God. If you want an acronym to help you remember those, think of BRO for bro. You know, the way people refer to each other as brother. BRO. The first way you become a son of God is B, birth. That's birth of, by the Holy Spirit. The second way you become a son of God is by receiving Him, even believing on the name of Jesus Christ. That's in your own conscience. The third is by obeying the Lord. And that is the commandments Jesus Christ left with His apostles to lead to us. And that is to become a son of God in the viewpoint of other people, other children of God, angels of God. You become a son in their estimation. I thought of a little illustration that might help you see this. Suppose there was a wise and a wealthy man. He was in his late 20s and he had two little children. Maybe they were boys. One was just an infant. The other was maybe a year and a half old. And there was a conflict near the town where they lived. And he went off to fight the battles of his nation, try to defend his home and family, and was taken prisoner for a long time. And in the process, the enemy encroached into the town where his wife and two sons lived, and they had to flee further into safer territory. And as they fled, the wife became sick and lost her life. And somebody else that really didn't know them well saw the two little boys left orphans, and they took the two little boys and raised them in two different homes. Then after 15 years, this man was set free as a prisoner of war. And he came back to his town and found that his house was empty, and he found his family gone, and he begins a search for his family. And after 2 or 3 years of research, he finds that his wife died in the process of fleeing. And then he keeps on researching until he finally finds 3 years later that his sons are in nearby territories in different places. So he finds these sons, and he communicates with them. And he says, boys, this may come as a shock to you, but I am your father. And I've made it back home after years as a prisoner and found many of my assets intact. And I wish to have you come back home and live as my sons. Well, at that point, both of the boys are adults. One of them's over 18, the other's over 20. And they get this message here. They've got a choice. They can either say, well, the evidence is apparent. This man is kindly reaching out, and my life's been hard these 18 or 20 years. And I can see things that check out, and the evidence is strong, and the likeness, he sent me a photo, and I can see that. And one of the boys says, I believe what he has sent me. I'm going to go and follow wherever he lives and live as his son. I believe this invitation. The other boy may say, I don't know. Where's this man been all these years? And I don't believe this. Don't buy it. You know, my life's been hard, but I don't want somebody else telling me what to do, making choices for me. And the other doesn't believe. Now, let me ask you something. Are either of those boys any less biologically the son of that man? No. They were begotten by him and born and delivered by their mother. So they both objectively, biologically, are sons. But now one of them has received his invitation, believed the information that he's given, and goes to live with this man and enjoys the benefits that extends to him. This man is wealthy. He's a wise, good man. He gets to see that. The others decided, yeah, I want to choose my own way. I don't buy that anyway. Doesn't sound real to me. And he stays where he is. Well, years go by. The one that stays where he is and makes his own choices. Some of them bad, some of them good. Pretty much just has a struggle. The other is living in the house. He starts his education late. He does that. He learns how his father prospered in business. He sees how his father's tried to help other people and the wisdom which he does. And he learns those things and he begins to implement them himself. And as they grow, they look as adults. They more and more, they start looking like their father. And the townspeople start saying, wow, this man is, he's acting like his old dad. He's making some smart choices in business. He's a very wise fellow. And they start to see that he's very much his father's son because he takes advantage of the directions and the education that his father has provided. So can you see this? How both of them are sons biologically. They really are. Objectively, they're both his sons. One of them, however, never becomes a son by receiving him because he doesn't buy the communications his dad has sent him. Nor does he ever become a son in the sight of others because he doesn't live where his dad does and he doesn't develop those things that his dad has taught. Whereas the other son, he receives what is said, so he knows and he admits to himself, yes, I am this man's son. And then he goes, moves in with his dad, learns what he learns, takes advantage of it, and becomes someone who acts like his dad. And so he becomes a son by birth, by receiving, and by obedience. And here's this verse, and it talks about becoming a son of God by obedience. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings has a little different shade of meaning than just complaining. There's times if you make an open, honest, well-structured complaint to someone who can do something to help, it's a good thing to do. Go before God and you're complaining, Lord, this is happening and I'm having a hard time. Please help me or please change it. The Lord may choose to say no, but you can openly pour out your complaint to God and he hears and he may choose to change it, and if he does, he's big enough to change it. He's big enough to make a difference. He may not change it, but he may change it, and it's worthwhile going to complain to him. You may lodge a valid complaint with a doctor. Doctor, I got a sore spot right here in my elbow. Oh, you got an inflamed bursitis. Let's do something about that inflammation. And he gives you a treatment. It helps. You may complain to a court. You may say, this business has treated me unfairly and I believe illegally. Would you hear my appeal? And they do. And they say, yeah, we see it the same way. We're going to give an instruction that this company pay you damages and punitive charges. And we want to make this thing right. Sometimes a well-structured, logical, open complaint to someone who can make a difference is a positive thing to do. But murmuring's not that. Murmuring is a grumbling. It's a poison, really. Talking and just putting someone down and talking about it to someone who can't really make a difference. I read this and I thought this is pretty wise. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things that you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Now, that's a pretty big difference. You say, well, what about murmuring? Murmuring is a conversation you have with other people that changes things for the worse. It's even worse than worry. Think of the levels. Murmuring is a conversation that you have with other people that makes things worse because you poison the atmosphere. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you can't change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. So there's kind of a level of communication. Don't murmur. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Dispute sometimes is a positive word in the Bible. Paul disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus, it says in Acts chapter 19. That disputing is a positive one. It's the Greek word dialogos, which means dialogue. It means he had discussions daily in this school. But this one in context is bound up with murmurings. This disputing means just arguments. You just want to be contrary. You just have conversations that are endless arguments, not really designed to improve anything as much as it is just to win. And people are susceptible to that. I'm susceptible to that. And we need to avoid it. It's important to avoid it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. That doesn't mean sinless, but it means you're not doing the damage that murmuring and pointless arguing does. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. That is, without rebuke from God for murmuring and disputing. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, there are some things in this nation that are perverse. You find corruption in government, corruption in businesses, corruption in personal relationships. They're crooked, and you find perversity. You find perverseness in the way money is used. You find perverseness in the way sexuality is used. You find perverseness in the way communications are used. It's a crooked and perverse nation. The one that the Philippians lived in the first century was that way, and the one we live in today is that way. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What should we do? Well, we should try to love and help our nation. You want to do what's positive. But most of all, you want to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You live a life where your communication is not murmuring, it's encouragement. And it's not disputing, it's a peacemaker. You shine as a light in a dark place. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, you are shining as lights. How? Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That is, you live a life where you are living according to and communicating the truth of the scriptures. You are speaking the truth in love. You do that when you know scripture, you can share it. You do that when you assemble together to study or hear the preaching of the scriptures. You do that when you tailor your actions to the teaching of scriptures. So here's somebody that instead of murmuring or disputing, they're holding forth the word of life, the truth of Jesus Christ, in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation, and they're shining like lights. They're not poisoning the atmosphere. They're brightening the room. And brothers and sisters, that's a good thing. That's what Paul was writing for the people at Philippi to do. And it's been preserved so that we can hear it and do it today. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Now there's a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming from heaven with a shout to raise the bodies of all his children glorified to take them to glory. He's going to do that. But the Lord Jesus Christ visits from time to time. He visits his churches. He visits his people. And in the day that the Lord visits, he may visit to rebuke. He could visit Union to rebuke us for if we're murmuring or disputing, or if we're taking his blessings for granted, if we're forsaking assembly, if we're doing things that are harmful to other people. The Lord Jesus Christ may visit us and rebuke us. On the other hand, if we're doing our best to speak the truth in love and holding forth the word of life, he visits us with his presence and blesses us. And people like the Apostle Paul, who are trying to teach, it causes them to rejoice. Yes, the word of God has gone forth. It's been heard. It's been obeyed. The Lord's presence was here today, and we all were blessed by it. And so Paul says that, but the reason I wanted to get into this subject is just what he said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Now, brothers and sisters, if you do things without murmuring and disputing, Is that a regeneration, a new birth? Or is that receiving a work of believing the truth? Or is that a work? That's a work. That is a work of obedience. So let's look at these three kinds of sonship. First, birth. And I'll just quote it. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Same Paul writes, "Because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This is how a human being becomes, by life, new life, a son of God. Because ye are sons, well, how are you sons before he sends forth his Spirit into your heart? Your sons by election. He chose people in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And your sons by redemption. He died for the people that God had given him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him which has sent me. And this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me." When did that happen? He gave them to Christ before the foundation of the world. "All that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." So you're a child of God by election, and a child of God by redemption, and all of those that are embraced in God's choosing and Christ dying, all of those will have the Spirit of God sent forth into their heart, and they can't accept it, nor can they refuse it. It will just come into them. I won't say it will come. He will just come into them. "Because ye are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. There you go for a Father's Day message. Someone that is born of Spirit, the Spirit of God, what happens to them? So the Spirit of God comes into them. Sometimes this happens before they're physically born. John the Baptist was born of the Spirit before he was delivered of his mother Elizabeth. Sometimes it may happen just seconds before death. The thief on the cross was about to expire when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." We don't know when it will happen, but I'll tell you, for everyone that God chose before the foundation of the world, and for everyone that Jesus Christ died, the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, the Holy Spirit, will come into the hearts of that person, and they will, for the first time in their existence, call out daddy to the living God. They may have no idea about religion. They may be swamped by false religion, raised in false religion, tradition. They may have never heard the gospel, seen a Bible, went to a church. They may not even live much longer. They may die as a child. But by the power of God, they cry out daddy to the true and living God. Because Jesus Christ is in their heart, whether or not they've ever heard his name. So they're sons of God by birth. There's the B. They're sons of God in a vital, living, objective manner by birth. Now what about receiving and believing? Listen to John, the gospel, in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of the flesh, nor not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Okay, they were first born of God. "Because your sons, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." They were first born of God. That enabled them to believe. But when they did believe, that is, they received him, even to them which believe on his name, they heard the name of Jesus Christ. They heard that name put forth as a successful Savior who paid for their sins and who satisfied God's justice. They heard that and they believed that. Now they have become sons of God in their own perception. They are now not only sons by birth, they are sons by receiving. But you know, it doesn't stop there, because this is a lifetime process. Now that you've heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe Him and you believe in that name and therefore receive Him in that way, now it's not just a matter of believing He's the Son of God, it's a matter of obeying the Son of God. And what does He say? Well, He says many things. He commands us to be baptized, commands us to follow Him, commands us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and be His disciples. But here's something He commands us. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, when we not only receive the truth that Jesus Christ is God, but when we obey Him, when we try to be peacemakers, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness and therefore try to do what He says is righteousness, when we do all things without murmuring, that corrosive complaining, or disputing, that damaging argument, we try to hold forth the word of life by our assembly, by our singing, by our prayers, by our studies, by our giving, by our forgiving, by our kindness. When we do those kind of things, then you become a son of God by obedience. Be for birth. That happens totally by the sovereign grace of God. You can't say yes to it, can't say no to it. He's going to do it. He's going to succeed. Receiving. Listen to the truth. Listen prayerfully. Believe what God has said in His Word. Receive Jesus Christ that way. And then obey. When you find out that truth, that you are indeed His Son, now we want to start acting like His children in obedience. One further scripture of showing this doesn't use the word son. It uses children. But it's the same teaching. And listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, starting with Matthew 5:43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Does that sound like a birth by the Holy Spirit? Or does that sound like a receiving the name of Jesus Christ? Or does that sound like a work of obedience? It's a work of obedience. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That is, you are being the children of your Father which is in heaven in the eyes of others. What an unusual person. He forgives his enemies. He prays for them. Now there's time you may have to stand. Somebody breaks in my house and puts, you know, in danger Sandy. I plan to shoot him or stab him. I plan to. But when it's not a matter of like protection, it's a matter of, okay, I'm going to take vengeance on this person. Don't do that. You got an enemy, somebody's hurt you, acknowledge they've hurt you, that they owe you as a result, and then let it go. Let it go. Forgive them. Pray for them. If you have a chance to do a real good that's not enabling continuing evil, do what you can. that you may be the children of your Father which is on heaven. He sends his rain on the evil and the good. He shines his sun on the just and the unjust. If we would be children of God in the eyes of others, we need not only to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, but act more like our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, we beg that you would hear our prayers for Jesus Christ's sake. Grant us your Holy Spirit. Grant us your divine wisdom from above. And dear God, we confess that we have sinned, and we trust in the forgiveness that you have promised when we confess and when we forgive others. Help us to do that. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your fatherhood, of your children, that you have a number of children, a number of sons that exceeds the stars of the sky. Oh Lord, we look forward to the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to grow in trust and knowledge of him, and to believe even more strongly than we ever have that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's reigning right now and returning one day. Dear God, help us to be filled with hope. Help us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Help us to hold forth the word of life, and let thy name be glorified. All this we ask in that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.